Sri Kunji Swami's recollections, meeting Sri Bhagavan and first Upadesa. Sri Kunji Swami's first visit to Sri Bhagavan was in 1919. He was irresistibly drawn by the power of Sri Bhagavan's presence and was bound to him with an unbreakable bond of devotion. He was an attendant of Sri Bhagavan for 12 years, from 1920 until 1932, and resided in the ashram until his absorption in Arunachala in 1992 at the age of 96. Sri Kunji Swami shared the experiences that he had in the presence of Sri Bhagavan unstintingly with visiting devotees. This interview was recorded in 1989 by Jim and Dennis Hattel. J. Jayaraman conducted the interview. The full interview in Tamil is available on the Arunachala Ashrama YouTube channel. From childhood, I never had any illness. Wherever I was made to sit, I would stay there without moving, like a madman. My father was quite worried about this. Once he took me to a tank to give me a bath. There I observed some Brahmins doing japa. Upon seeing them, I also wanted to take up japa. Being a non-Brahmin, I knew I wouldn't be given initiation into japa, but my longing was very strong. That night in my sleep, I was initiated into the Panchakshari Mantra by the Lord. I was delighted and did my japa relentlessly. Eventually, I attained japa siddhi and acquired some powers. For example, when I attended Kathakalikshepa, I could repeat it verbatim on my return, to the astonishment of everyone. Even though the discourse would be in Tamil, a language that I did not know, I was able to repeat the discourse verbatim like a tape recorder. Noticing this capacity of mine, my father took me to an exposition on the Puranas. I could soon repeat any of these two with effortless ease. Such memory would last for 1 week, and I became an object of awe and veneration. Once a sadhu, a devotee of Sri Bhagavan, came to my house. Noticing my powers, he said very firmly, "Such occult powers may produce a sense of wonder in others, but they will never confer moksha upon the one who possesses them." He explained that such powers would vanish after some time, and as such, they are impermanent. Upon being asked to indicate the right course of action, he advised that a study of Vedanta was best, and he agreed to help me. He started teaching me to read Kaivalya Navaneetam. While I was learning these Vedantic texts, another sadhu, also a devotee of Bhagavan, came and said that mere study of such texts would not be sufficient and suggested the practice of Atmavichara. He took us to his village where he was expounding on the Yoga Vasishtha. The Yoga Vasishtha has a story of the king Sikidvaja, who remained in Samadhi for 1,000 years. He also said that Muktas lived in such a state of Samadhi. I felt that although this sadhu spoke a lot about Samadhi and that these scriptures emphasized the state of Samadhi, this sadhu himself was never in Samadhi. He always engaged in teaching, talking, or in some other activity. I wondered if samadhi was a mere concept or if there was anyone who actually lived in this state. When I put this question to the sadhu, he told me not to have any doubts, that the scriptures are not mere theory, and that there was a jnani right then in Thiruvannamalai who had attained realization at the age of 16. He hadn't read any Vedantic text, yet he had attained that highest state and was always in samadhi. Meeting Sri Bhagavan, the moment I heard this, I was thrilled. The name Ramana Maharishi was nectar to my ears, and my whole body quivered with joy. The urge to go and see him welled up in me. Without delay, I set out for Thiruvannamalai. Bhagavan was living in Skandashramam then. I was overjoyed to see the Sadguru. I narrated all that had happened in Malayalam, the only language I knew then, and it was a boon for me that Bhagavan could follow and converse in that language fluently. At that time, I had stopped doing japa or studying Vedantic scriptures, but I had not yet experienced samadhi and was very unhappy. After patiently hearing me out, Bhagavan quoted a verse from Kaivalya Navanitam that says, "If you realize who you are, there is no cause for sorrow." I did not know what was meant by "know who you are." Seeing me blinking in ignorance, Bhagavan proceeded to tell me that the mind is made up of mere thoughts, and that knowing oneself is to find the source of all thoughts. So saying, he pointed to his heart. Until then, I had been concentrating only on the Bhumadhyaya. However, when I turned my attention to the heart, I was soon led to samadhi. I knew that Bhagavan was looking at me. In 5 minutes, I had the great experience and was thrilled. It was then time for lunch. After lunch also, I came to Bhagavan's presence. Then, by a single look, Bhagavan put me into samadhi again. Thenceforth, I would immerse myself in that blissful state again and again, oblivious of the body. In fact, I occasionally used to pinch myself to check whether I had a body or not. I spent a happy 18 days like this at Skandashramam. Devotees used to offer food to Bhagavan, from which all of us were also given a share. I started feeling guilty that instead of offering food to the Guru, we were eating out of his share, and that this was not proper. It occurred to me that if I returned to my own home, I would have my own room where I could practice in peace, as I felt that I had become established in samadhi. Besides, this would absolve me of the sin of causing my guru loss of food. I went back to my village, but as time passed, the intensity of meditation lessened. When I noticed I could no longer be in samadhi, I understood that the samadhi anubhava is by the grace of the guru and not by my own attainment. I felt that I shouldn't have come away from Bhagavan, and that had Bhagavan used the same logic, he would have gone back to Thiruchuri. When I returned to Skandashramam, Perumal Swami was attending to Bhagavan's personal needs, like bringing hot water for him, etc. Perumal Swami taught me how to look after Bhagavan's needs and entrusted me with that job. While I was attending on Bhagavan, I told him how the intensity of Samadhi had lessened once I was back in my village. Bhagavan very graciously quoted from Kaivalya Navaneetam that the Samadhi Anubhava occurs to everyone and anyone by the mere presence of the Guru or by reading his works, but it would not be permanent. Bhagavan further explained that the state of sthita prajna has to be attained by shravana, manana and nididhyasana. Again, he quoted from Kaivalya Navaneetam, where it is said that just as one would dig the ground, plant a pole and pack the dirt back in order to secure the pole, one must practice incessantly in order to make the experience of Samadhi permanent. Again, quoting Kaivalya Navaneetam, he said that as long as the duality of the knower and the known remains, one must practice. So, while I was serving Bhagavan by His grace, I was learning meditation as well. Sri Bhagavan's Upadesa. My former teacher had impressed upon me that one must hold on to the Guru's first Upadesa firmly. I had also read that in some books. So, I was eagerly waiting for Bhagavan to give me the first Upadesa, but he was silent all the time. When I asked for an Upadesa, Bhagavan did not reply. It was winter then, and there would be an urn in front of Bhagavan with burning charcoal to give off some heat. Bhagavan put a pot on that fire and added some ragi and water to it. I thought that Bhagavan was making kayakalpa, an elixir for longevity. It turned out that he was making gruel for the four puppies that used to live in Skandashram then. The story of the puppies is also mentioned in the March-April 2000 issue of the Maharishi. There is a scriptural injunction that one should not act on one's own without the Guru's instructions. So, I kept quiet, awaiting his instructions. Bhagavan walked past me to the four puppies and removed their blanket covering them. The puppies were excited and were running to get the gruel. As the gruel was still very hot, Bhagavan needed more time. I saw all this but did not offer to help as I was waiting for instructions from him. Bhagavan then asked me to hold all the four puppies and then let them go one at a time. They all came to him one by one, had the food, were satisfied, and went back to rest. I was keenly observing and listening to all that Bhagavan said. First he said, hold the four and then let them go one by one. After some time, the puppies answered their call of nature right there. Bhagavan went and cleaned up the place once or twice. The third time, Bhagavan told me, go and wipe it up. I considered this incident to be my first Upadesa, and I interpreted thus, regard the four Vedas as the ultimate. Let them go one after another. This also means let go of the vasanas one after another. Finally, he asked me to wipe it clean. That meant to wipe out all vasanas. This is how I got my first Upadesa. And since I have been alert, I have been able to give the right interpretation also. I used to go to Kovilur Math, where the chief was Mahadev Swami. In his math, the practice was not to refer to oneself as I, but as this frame or this body or some such thing. Also, one had to do a lot of prostration before the Madhadhipati. I did not prostrate because I felt that I should prostrate only before my own guru, Ramana. On my return from the math one day, Bhagavan asked me details of my visit. While I was narrating, Bhagavan interrupted me and asked, "Did you prostrate?" I said, "No, I do not want to prostrate before anyone except my master." Again, at the math, they were astonished that I was not referring to myself as this fellow or this frame, as was the custom. They even commented that this Tiruvannamalai Swami, meaning me, is so arrogant that he refers to himself as I. One day, on my return from the Kovilur Math, Bhagavan asked me if I had prostrated before the chief, and I gave him the same reply. Bhagavan laughed and said, "Is this body seated on the couch that you see now, Bhagavan? Is he confined to this body?" Bhagavan then quoted a Sanskrit verse which said that when one performed prostrations to anybody, anywhere, it would always reach the Guru within oneself. From that moment onward, whenever I prostrated before anybody, I always considered it an offering to my Guru. Again, when the topic of not referring to oneself in the first person arose, Bhagavan's enlightening reply was, "Why don't you tell them that when you refer to I, it is not the small I, but the big, meaning the self. The small I refers to the body alone and is defective. But when you refer to the I as the self, then it is perfectly all right." I was very happy to get this instruction from Sri Bhagavan. The explanations from Bhagavan solved the problems for me at the math. To be continued.